So, Simen Kuf Peches. So here too, we begin with the Din Torah, before we get to the practical halacha. So, the Mishnah says that there are five colors, four red and one black, that would make a woman a Nida or a Zava. How do we know? So the Pasuk says, Ki Palei Davar Mimchal Mishpat Ben Dam Ladam, that you have a question, and you turn to the Sanhedrin Agadol to ask them this question, and they're mavchin bein dam ladam, meaning to say that there's some type of dam that's tahor and some type of dam that's tamein. What does that mean? It means that there are certain types of dam that don't actually make a woman a nida. Meaning to say, what's a halachic dam, a dam nida, is not what's necessarily a biological dam. What a doctor will call blood doesn't necessarily make you a nida. Sometimes when you're teaching a chasanim and kalas, it's very important to stress this point because it can be very confusing. This comes out with, nowadays, not between dam ladam, because as we've said, we're not machalik between red and red, but let's say we're machalik between red and brown. And a doctor might tell a woman, I saw blood in your prizdor, let's say, right? Well, just because a doctor called it blood doesn't mean we'll call it blood. Maybe it was brown. You're not cheating the system. The biological definition of dam is not the same thing as the halachic definition of dam. The halachic definition of dam is different and follows different parameters, and it depends on the color, and that's very important to remember. You don't become a nida unless you saw what the Torah calls dam nida, not what a doctor might call blood. Be that as it may. So we see from that pasuk that there are different types of colors, some of which are good and some of which are bad. Now, the Chachamim say there are four reds and one black. What about black? Black is really red. Dam hu shalaka. What about the reds? So, if you look at the Mishnah, these four colors of red are very distinct, very specific. The Aruch HaShulchan asks an interesting question, which is, why didn't they say that there's a range? In other words, from this red to that red is usser. Right? Why did they pick four distinct colors to call red? And he answers, at least the answer that he prefers, his second answer, is T'chol elu mine damim heim madregos chalukos lagamre ze mize. Meaning to say, there is no range. There are, if you wish, gaps. When the Chacham said these four colors of red, it's not like from this to this is... So no, four distinct colors, and there might be reds in between that are okay, Madurais at least. These are four specific colors of red. Anything but these four colors, Madurisa is okay. They're four. So that's an interesting question. How did they know those four? We can get back to that in one moment.
I'm just saying, the question, I don't think it's up to the ground. You have that.
Yeah, but why? Why don't you just say, no, what's the pshat in the limud? It's a very strong question, right? Here's his question. Right? Pasha pshat, when you read the Mishnah, is there's a range. So anything from dam mazug to dam hakaza is, wine-colored red to dam hakaza, go ahead, do Hakaza Sadam and look at it. That's Dam Hakaza. Anything from there to there is Aser. Imkain, Lema, Kolshem, Imazu, Gulamala, Tame. Just say it that way. If you want to ask the question on Drasha, ask the question on Drasha. If in the end of the day, it's a range, it's not, what does it mean there are four colors? So his answer is, maybe this is obvious to you, but it's worth spelling out, is no, it's not the pshat that there's a range. There are four distinct colors. Things in between are actually midoraisa, not damnida. If you want to put it in scientific terms, so anyone learned color theory here? So you know a little bit about color theory. So there are three, I guess, ways to classify a color: lightness, saturation, and hue. That you could have more probably if you wanted to, but that's the way it's generally done. Right, lightness is light versus dark. saturation is intensity versus dullness, and hue is like the color. So you couldn't possibly classify four colors within a single range, because which range would you use? Lightness, saturation, or hue? So it's not possible to even have a range of colors. Either way, either that may be what the Aruch HaShulchan means or may not be, but that's, I think, the conclusion is clear. In other words, we're not dealing here with a range of colors. We're actually dealing with four distinct colors that are Aser. Now, the tour over here writes that Ha'idna, nowadays, we no longer are Mavchen. So we already saw the Tor say something along these lines in Kuf Pei Gimel. So the question that we have to ask is he talking about the same thing in Kuf Pei Ches as he did in Kuf Pei Gimel? Again, take a look at the Lashon of the Tor in Kuf Pei Ches. Kuf Pei Ches, he, after writing Dvar Torah, Chamisha Damin Tameim Vesulo, Aval Ha'idna Shnismayit HaBekios, Chazru Letamos, Kol Sheyesh Bo Mare Adom. So what's Ha'idna mean? Does Idna mean Bizman Hazeh, meaning this is post-Talmudic? Or is this Talmudic, right? If you go back to Simen Kuf Pei Gimel, the Tor wrote that when Rabu Agolios, Takfu Atzaros, Nismatu Alevavos, so then they were Misakein, Hichmiru, Latame Kol Mare Dam Edom. And that's Takanas Rebbe. That was Bizman Chazal. So is that the same thing that he's discussing over here when he says Ha'idna or not? So it could be. It is the same thing. When he says Ha'idna, he really means Bizman Hazeh, meaning post Torah. And he's referring to the Takana that Rebbe made that he already described in Simen Kuf Pei Gimel. However, another possibility might be Ha'idna means post-Talmudic. They were even more machmir than what Rabbi did. What would that mean? That they weren't just machmir for red, they were machmir for anything reddish. The Lashon over here is a little different. Chazru, right, Ha'inna, Shenismayit HaBekiyas, nowadays, meaning in the Tekufa the Rishonim, or post-Talmudic, that Nismayit HaBekiyas, Chazru, Letamos, Kol Sheyesh Bo Mare Edom. They were machmir on anything that has Mare Edom, right, which is going further than what Rebbe did. The Lashon that you see in a number of poskim, including Rishonim, is anything that's notel admumis. Not just Adon, but anything that's nota ladmumis, that's going much further. And the reason why you might want to read it this way is, first of all, again, there's a slight difference in the Lashon from Kuf Pei Gimel to Kuf Pei Ches. In Kuf Pei Gimel he writes Hichmir Latame Kol Mare Dam Adom, they're machmir and Adom, and over here he writes Kol Sheyesh Bo Mare Adom. And the second is Ha'idna, which, all things being equal, sounds more like post-Talmudic. You see a similar Lashon in Simen Kuf Tzadi. Take a look at the Prisha, the Prisha over there. And this is even more clear in the Lashon of the Rush, which is quoted in the Beis Yosef, who says, Uvedoros halalo, meaning to say, when the Rush quotes this halach, it's almost certainly talking about post-Talmudic, when he says, Doros halalo. Maybe the Lashon of Ha'idna is somewhat ambiguous. Ha'idna could mean like now, or Ha'idna could be referring to Bizman Chazal. But the Rush is much more clear. And I would add that when you look at the Rush, it's quite clear that there was no gzeira. This simply stems from the Chisaron and Bekiyas. People were not specifically sufficiently adroit. They were not sufficiently skilled to start being mavchin, and therefore the minhag developed lachar chasinas hashas to be machmir on anything that's no telanumus. It's clear that that's the view of the Rush. The Rush doesn't mention anywhere there's a takana. So, I guess for a moment, before going back to the question of the Torah, and we alluded to this in the last year, there's already a machlokas rishonim, whether there was a takana bisman rabbi to be machmir on all colors of red. According to the Ramban, it seems quite clear that that was part of takanas rabbi. We saw that Ramban in Perek Beis of Hilchos Nida last time, and it's also explicit, perhaps even more explicit in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Nida, the Ramban, that Bimei Rebbe, part of Rebbe's takana was to be machmir for all red. When you look at the Rush, it's pretty clear that the Rush disagrees. The Rush said that there was nothing that happened as a formal takana, and over time, due to people's, you know, the Rush sounds like he's saying, not that there's any formal takana about being mafchin between dam ladam, but anybody who does this is crazy. But not that there's a formal takana. Now, if I'm right in my reading of the Torah, which I'm not sure about, but if I'm right that that ha'idnan simen kuf pei ches is not what he's referring to in simen kuf pei gemel, so then what you see the Torah doing is something interesting, which is sort of combining or accepting both the Ramban and the Rush. He accepts the Ramban in Simen Kuf Pei Gimel, and more or less what he writes in Simen Kuf Pei Gimel is based off of that Ramban. It's the Lashon of the Ramban reformulated. And now in Simen Kuf Pei Ches, he's basically taking the Lashon of the Rush reformulated, and he thinks both were true. How could both be true? Why not? There was some type of formal takana Bizman Chazal, BMA Rebbe, on all red. And then, Ha'idna, Shinismaid Habakios, so we're not only Machmir in all red, but also everything that's Nota Lad Mumis.
Why is there assuming that Torah is like the Ramban Pegimel?
It's the Lashon in Kuf Pei Gimel is quite clear that he's talking about a takana. Again, the Lashon here is somewhat difficult and depends a little bit on the Girsa issue. But he's discussing Takanas Rebbe, and he says, Hichmiru l'tame komare dam edom.
That's the only issue that he actually quotes
in the takana. Exactly. But that's Rebbe. Ukadesha, no, he continues. Ukadesha lo yavo lidei tos, ben yimeni deliziva, hosifu chumra, achar chumra. So he sort of combines Rebbe with Benos Yisrael. But the first chumra was Rebbe, and the second one was later on. Benos Yisrael, Shiyom Rishafilu lo rasa lo tera isha ela tipas dam kechar del teshev ala shiv nekiv. In other words, in Kuf Pei Gimel, he's not mechalek between the Ramban explicates the different stages. First the stage of Rebbe, and then the stage of Reb Zeira, and the Tour is Mekatzer, so he just says Echmiru Chumra Achar Chumra until they got to Reb Zeira. But one way or the other, I don't know of any other source for this Tour other than the Ramban, and to me, it's queer. I mean, he's using the Lashon of the Ramban. Misharabu Agalios, V'takfu Atzaros. So he's basically paraphrasing the Ramban. But one way or the other, it's clear from the Tour in Kuf Pei Gimel that there was a takana letame komar damedom, right? And that's presumably Rebbe, like the Ramban says.
Rebbe doesn't think it'd be like the Rif?
Well, the question is, what does the Rif say? What does the Rif say? Which is, I think, somewhat the point of contention. It could be that the Ramban and the Rush disagreed about the meaning of the Rif. The Rif is vague. So the Ramban and the Rush are clear, I believe. They're clear. Yeah.
But the Beis Yosef on that line in the Torah.
So let's go back to the Beis Yosef now, right? So the Beis Yosef didn't read the Torah this way, and doesn't really acknowledge what the Ramban says. As we noted when we did Kuf Pei Gimel, it's very difficult to read the Torah because the Torah seems to be referring to a takana. And the Beis Yosef says, well, there was never actually a takana. So the Beis Yosef accepts the position of the Rush and basically tries to read everybody else into the Rush. I don't know why he does that, But that seems to be the way the Beis Yosef is reading it. So this reading is definitely not like the Beis Yosef. You're absolutely correct. The Beis Yosef...
Why? Is because he leaves out the ikar part there, the Ramban, like Rebbe's saying. He's leaving out the ikar part of Rebbe, and that's the Ramban clearly says it. And
I don't think he's leaving it. I think he's Mekatzer. Like, but again, I don't see how it's... I don't see how the Beis Yosef's reading and the Beis Yosef's reading of the Torah in Kuf Pei Gimel is very difficult.
I think it flows perfectly in the Rif.
Perfectly in the Rif and perfectly in the Rush, but not the Torah. That's great.
No, the Torah, he's reading it, the Torah.
But it doesn't read into the Torah. The Torah says, the Torah is talking about Takanas Rebbe here. That's clear.
He's not telling us the which, if it's Rebbe or Zera, he's telling us the Maskana at the Rif.
Where is this? Again, I'm not going to argue with the Beis Yosef. I'm not going to say he's wrong. It's to me, it's a very difficult read of the Torah. To me, it's quite a much simpler reading of the Torah is that the Torah is quoting the Ramban, which he does. He almost paraphrases the Ramban in many ways, and is makater at the end in terms of the Ishtalshelus. But at the very least, we have here what seems to me a machlokes rishonim, unambiguously, between the Torah and the Rush, between the Ramban and the Rush. There is some debate, perhaps, as to what exactly the Torah held, and some ambiguity in terms of whether, in the Torah, whether the Ha'idna of Kuf Pei Ches is the same thing described in Kuf Pei Gimel or not. To me, the simplest reading of the Torah is that he's paskening both the Ramban and the Rush, and essentially saying there were two stages in terms of the Chumrah. There was the Chumrah Bizman Rabbi, which was only said about Adom, and then there's the Chumrah described by the Rush, which happened at some later point, which is not a formal Takana, but simply playing it safe, which is to be Machmir even on Kol... anything that's no Talad Mumis. Now, if you look at the Shach...
They're also two different...
I don't... Well, let's see. Is there a Nafkamina? Let's talk about that. Is there a Nafkamina in the Shaila? Because in the end of the day, everybody's going to say, practically, we're Machmir for anything that's no Talad Mumis. The Shach sounds like the Ramban, that it was a formal Takana Yizman Chazal, Shach Sefkat and Aleph. But is there a... and there was nothing afterwards... There was nothing afterwards, more like the Ramban, not like the Rush. But as he said, is there a nafkamina? So one possible nafkamina comes up in Simen Kuf Peches in the Pischei Tshuva Sif Katan Tes, in terms of whether we will treat something Adom as still a suffix. So the Pischei Tshuva over there says that, quoting the Tshuva's Beis Yaakov, that when you have red, that is still begeder suffik for purposes of sveik sveika. Why? Because it's suffik imhu adom olo. Meaning to say, anything that we see is red, it's red. It's definitely red. It's not, maybe something, sometimes you have a case where you're not sure if it's reddish or not, right? But this is definitely red. Fire engine red. But is fire engine red still a suffik? So the Beyako says, yes, it is. We're machmir, but if there's another suffik, we could be mitzdarifit to a sveik sveika, right? Now, that works much better if you don't learn like the Shach or the Ramban, if you say there is no takana, because if there is a takana, how could you still say it's begeder suffik, right? It's not begeder suffik. It's not a suffik. They were machmir, right? Things that are also made of fire engine red is at the very least Asura midrabanan, right? Maybe on a deraisa level, it's a suffix to us, because we don't know if this fits into the four categories of red. But certainly, so if you learn like the Rush, it makes a lot of sense to treat it as a suffix. We're machmir, not to be mafchen, because we don't know what we're doing. Assuming we don't treat it as a suffix, sanyadiya, maybe because it's a sanyadiya l'chol ador, so it makes sense to treat it as a suffix. But if you learn like the simple reading of the Shach or the Ramban or the like, how could you still call it a suffik? However, you could get out of this raya. Why? Maybe it means like this. on a derab, you're going to say tzasim derabanan, so then I make on one suffix, suffix derabanan lahakel. Ah, you'll tell me maybe tzasim deraisa, so then I'll, on a deraisa level, I'll treat it as a fix feka, and then it'll be mutter also. The shach, in some places, says you could do this. In other words, you can sort of address the question on a deraisa, you know, with your deraisa glasses on and your derabanan glasses on. On your derabanan glasses, this is vadayaser, but it's but if there's another suffix, we'll say suffix derabanan lahakel. And on a deraisa level, we'll say it's mutter on al tzveik sveika. So maybe you could get out of the raya. But that's going to be very important, one way or the other, however you understand the lamdus of it, whether it's because you think we pass them like the rush, or you think that maybe even according to Ramban, we could be mitzvah this to a tzveik sveika. Okay. Now we'll return to this question as we go through and see other examples of this. What now we have to address is the other opinions in the Tanaim, and specifically try to understand Akav Yashita. But I guess we're about out of time. So we'll stop here, and Be'ezras Hashem, next time we're going to go ahead and work on Akavya. I'll give you a couple of interesting Mar Makomos that I didn't include on the Makor sheets if you'd like to look. You should see the Gemara, obviously, if you haven't seen it yet, quoted by the Beis Yosef about Akav Yashita, and take a look at Tosfos in terms of what color Adom is. A very interesting Maharshal on that Tosfos, on Dibor Maschil, Tosis Dibor Maschil, Leslai, the Maharshal in the back of the Gemara, and the Chachma Shlomo, asks a very interesting question on Tosfos, which is worth looking at, and has some interesting conclusions. Also, in terms of what color Yarok is, there's a fascinating Meiri, if you want to look at it, Yotes Amad Aleph, Dibor Maschil V'Yarok Zeh, who talks about whether Tosis is right in terms of what color Yarok is. So that's worth looking at. If you also want to look at an interesting discussion on this, which we'll mention, it's Rabbeinu Yona, Talmid Rabbeinu Yona on Brachos, in the Perek, beginning of Perek Ein Omdim, on Lamed Aleph, Amid Aleph. I don't remember what page that is, Bedapi Arif. It's also quoted by the Aruch HaShulchan, though, in Sifkat and Ches. And you can take a look at that point. And also, we're going to talk about the questions of yellow and brown and the like. There's a couple of tshuvos from Rav Moshe you could see. Some of them are in the Makor sheets I sent you, some aren't, so let me just tell you. Look at the Chachmas Adam, Kuf Yud Zayin Tes, Igros Moshe, Yoridei Chelek Beis, Simin Ayin Ches, and Yoridei Chelek Dalid, Simen Yud Zayin Os Vav. And I guess that's enough for now. There's some more. Some other interesting ones. I put that fascinating Avnei Nezer on, if you want to look at it, a really very interesting question. An interesting question, which is what we do nowadays when we paskin maros is that hora'ah. One final point, since we're done, which is obviously this siman we're going to talk about the way you paskin a maros shayla. So we'll talk about some of the basics in shir next time. But Rabbi Neuberger is beginning to give shimush on maros after sukkahs, and I recommend that anyone who is married join. His condition is anyone could join if you're married and learning Hilchos Nida, or have learned Hilchos Nida. So you're learning Hilchos Nida?
What if you're only getting married after?
You could ask him, but I think he would be Mako. So that being the case, it's very kedai. I was zocha to get shimush both from Rabbi Willig and Rabbi Neuberger. It's much harder to get Rabbi Willig to give shimush, but I would encourage your asking him as well. Maybe next time I'll tell you some of the differences between the two. But even if you want to get shimush Rabbi Willig, you should also get shimush Rabbi Neuberger, because Rabbi Neuberger goes much slower and much more methodical, and Rabbi Willig is very bekitzer. Like, you'll bring him 40 bedikas and mutter, aser, the whole thing's done in 2 minutes. So you can get it. You do it enough times. But you could ask him, and What you could do if you want is bring the ones that you did with Rabbi Neuberger to Rabbi Willig, and then and ask him as well. But see if you could do it. But anyway, Rabbi Neuberger is starting after Sukkos, and even if you're not planning to become a posek, it's worth doing at least for some time. If you plan to become Aruch HaRa, then it, certainly you need to do it, and you need probably a little more time. But I would encourage everyone to do that. Okay, so we'll stop here, and we'll pick up the next time.